do it that way, you know.
Do we want to talk about it in training committee, or should we go on to assistant?
Yeah.
Plan the bill, okay. We'll talk about it in training.
All right, let me know.
Yeah, okay. I think we had the UPAA report.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Donna.
I'm always kind of lost to know what you guys want to hear about specifically, because I included, you know, a summary of what I've been up to this quarter already. I guess the unique thing that I'm doing that I've never done before is submitting an article to the home. It's been a long time since law review days, so it's kind of always at the bottom of my to-do list, so I haven't gotten it done yet, but I'm working on that. I guess one thing that the council should be aware of is that we don't have word yet about my, the DB grant funds about 30% of my position. The sexual violence grant funds 60%, and then UPC makes up 10% that's difference. And the sexual violence, the VAWA grant, the DB grant is renewed every year, in January every year, but the sexual violence grant is a 3-year grant, and it will expire this September 30th. We don't have word yet about whether it's going to be renewed. So it's anybody's guess as to what will happen. You know, it has been renewed once already, and that was when it was a 2-year cycle. And they increased it this time to 3 years, but it expires on September 30th. So just for the council's information, I haven't received word of whether it's going to be approved.
In the past, when did you receive word? Month or two? In the past, when did you get word that it was renewed?
Last time it got renewed, it expired in September, and we didn't find out until the end of November that it was renewed.
So that's not unusual.
So you guys are taking a gamble, I guess, on whether.
The challenge issue, Barry, and everybody else is the person that was responsible for submitting the application, the grant renewal, didn't turn it in timely, and so they scrambled it and got it in, and DOJ has accepted it. But as Donna says, we just don't know if it's going to be approved. But then so CCJJ assures me that if for some reason it doesn't get approved, that he or CCJJ will find the funds to continue to employ Donna. So I'm hopeful, but yeah, we are faced with that possibility.
So, yeah, I have no idea how any of that works and whether we have a good chance of getting it renewed or not. But
you always have a job with me, so they
come up here. It's good to know, because I won't be applying at Burger King. it's a grant that pays funds eight different people and provides funds for several different agencies. So I'm not the only one that it's, you know, affecting. There are a lot of people very dependent on this grant, and so it has been a priority for CCJJ. But the problem is it didn't get submitted on time this year, and they had to basically beg the Department of Justice to take it late. So I don't know if that puts us in a worse position, because they might say, well, you know, these 3,000 other people submitted their grants on time, we're going to fund them. So I don't know. It's anybody's guess.
Someone still employed at CCJJ?
So my training, I continue, my grant requires that I train 75 people every quarter, and I'm always, you know, close to 1,000 people every quarter. So I think, I mean, as far as the grantors are getting their money's worth, because, you know, it's always been a position that I always deliver much more than was in our grant application. So I think it's a good value for this state of Utah. But I'm very dependent on how many people request my services as well. So if somebody doesn't, you know, I'm going down to Washington County in August. They requested me to come over there.
We're so excited.
It's a lovely time of year to go to San
Diego. We've done a lot of
things. But I mean, I'm very dependent on people requesting me as well. So there's always that sort of tension. I can't, you know, just call up people and say, I'm coming to your office whether you want me or not. I have to wait for a request to come. But so far, you know, one particular quarter, I had 3,000 people that I trained. So far, I've always been way above the numbers.
So you just need everybody to give you an open invitation? Is that how that works?
Yeah. That would be nice. But anyway, so, I mean, I think this is a valuable position for the state.
Oh, I don't think anybody here is questioning that one.
Because, you know, prosecutors don't have to, you know, prosecutors, as you guys know, are you're just dealing with a stack on your desk and putting out brush fires every day, and you don't have anybody that can look at the big picture and say, where can we make improvements and what can we do? And so this position does that. So it's a good value for the state and for prosecutors. I'm really hoping it'll get renewed. I think it will. If I were a betting woman, I would bet on it getting renewed, but...
Well, you kind of are.
That's right. So, any questions about it?
Any questions for Donna? She came up and did our department, and it was a great training. They're still talking about it, so thank you.
Good.
All right, awesome. Tyson.
Like Donna, my report's here. You can look through some of the things I've been doing. Well, all the things I've been doing the last quarter, it's all there. Maybe what I'll just spend my time on here is telling you what some of my goals and what are the things I want to see accomplished. I've talked with Ron, and one of the things I really want to do is I want to increase the TSRP's online presence, get a lot more online resources for prosecutors. Part of that's the forum, and hopefully, you know, I think the forum's kind of underutilized. The UPC forum, every once in a while we'll get a flurry of posts on there. But I think there's almost a chilling effect where people don't want to ask dumb questions and put it out to all their counterparts and colleagues throughout the state and be that guy, right? I don't want to be that guy that asks a dumb question. Maybe I interpret something wrong and everybody comes down on me. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get more people back who participate on there because I think it's a great resource.
They can
share ideas.
They can do it anonymously. They can send you the question.
That's one thing I've offered to people. And actually,
okay.
You've probably seen, I've put several questions out there. None of them are mine. And so it's one of those things where I've made that, I'll look stupid. That's okay. I'll put my name to it and whatever.
Some of us are used to it.
Yeah, well, yes. Very used to it. But another thing, I got a call from Jeff Buman several weeks ago with a suggestion that I thought was really good. And then like 3 days later, got a call from DLD. He suggested that I put together kind of a winning the administrative hearing, license hearing, case training for law enforcement. And just maybe 3 days later, I got a call from DLD. They had got a request from UPD to do one for them. And they said, we need to appear impartial, you know, back to the judge thing. We don't want to train your officers on how to win our hearings. But let me reach out to Tyson and see if he'll do it, and I'm happy to do it. So I'm going to do that. I meet with Driver's License Division next month to kind of go over what they expect to see in the hearing, and then I can put together a curriculum and train. At Basic, I'm going to put together a training on overcoming kind of common defenses in DUI cases. Some of the common things that we see come up as motions or in trial, and training new prosecutors on those things. And, you know, like Donna said, we're really dependent on people reaching out to us and asking us to come and train them. Officers, I can train as many officers as I want. Police departments are always looking for people to come and train and give them hours. And honestly, I could train thousands and thousands of police officers a year if I just started sending emails to sergeants saying, hey, I got this training. They'll say, okay, come do it. Prosecutors are harder. It's harder to get prosecutors to come to training and want to do trainings. So if you guys have ideas for me, on things you're seeing in your areas. And again, I don't care. I told this at the legislative update. I don't have to create a training that I'm going to take to everybody. If you in your area have specific issues you want me to come train on, and that's the only time I get that training, I'm fine with that. And so if you can get the word out to your areas that I'm willing, I'm able, if I don't know the answers, I'll find them. I have enough contacts with you and other people that that we have the resources to be able to put things together. So that's just kind of what I'm working on going forward, is some of those things. So any suggestions or questions?
I can just say Don and Tyson are doing great things. Everybody knows we love having Tyson. Short time to defend your expense and great things for us. So appreciate it.
One thing I wanted to say that you raised, and I didn't think to say this, but one of my goals is to work with Ron and try to make the UPC site, stuff that I have on the UPC site better. Because I'm really very technologically not good. And so I got emailed at it. But I need to be able to, I want to do more online, and I think prosecutors around the state just use the UPC site for if they're going to go to a conference. They're not used to using it to, you know, to
as a resource
to be informed or to learn something. So I think that we could do a better job of working on that. I know I could. I'm terrible at it. You know, once in a while I'll email Ron an article or something. Could you put this on the site for me? But I need to be better at putting things up there that are helpful to people.
All right.
So I want to work on that.
Tyson, do you have a list, so Donna has a list that you can go to?
Of the trainings?
Yeah.
I don't, because I'm creating all my own curriculum as I go.
Okay.
So I just did body cams for UPAA, and I'd be happy to come and talk to anybody about body cams and some of those issues as well. I would adapt them to either prosecutors or police. Well, it'll probably need to be adapted for police departments, but county or city attorneys, I'd be happy to. And then just as I do trainings, that list will get created. But I don't have like a curriculum of TSRP trainings that are available. It's just whatever I'm going to create, and over time that will grow. And one of the things I said at the legislative update is although eventually I will have this list, I didn't have a list to hand out like Donna does, but I want to do what they want me to do. I don't want to just have this list of this is what I'm available to come train. But if you're having a specific issue, let me know, and I'll just create that training, and we'll come do it. So the long answer to your question is that. But no, I don't have a list, but that will grow as we go along.
And also for everybody that's here, if your prosecution offices want a specific training on our topics, let us know. I mean, we'll develop something soon. I'm working on developing, I have about 14 or 15 that I have that I can do regularly. But I'm working on a couple new ones. I want to do a presentation on what we know about sex offenders and batterers, violent perpetrators. What do we know and what do we don't know about them? Because we don't really educate ourselves really about these people as much. And then I'm developing one that I'm actually doing at post. We're finishing up this afternoon on DV hostage situations, about what prosecutors and cops should know about. DV hostages are different, hostage situations are different than other hostage crises. So anyway, those are the two new ones that I'm working on. But if you guys have something that you think, like, my prosecutors need to know more about this, you know, we would be happy to develop something.
And then the other thing that I felt was really helpful in the past was the newsletter. I don't know if it was monthly or bi-monthly that went over emerging case law. And
so you're talking about the UPC newsletter?
Yeah, is that still being done?
So there's a blog that's updated with case law and things, and this is one thing that I don't think a lot of people realize, because I didn't realize the blog was there until I came to UPC. But just so you know, I guess another thing, part of my grant, which my grant cycle starts October 1st on the federal fiscal year, one of the things that's part of my grant for next year is I'm going to do a quarterly TSRP newsletter. And so it won't cover everything that the UPC newsletter did. It will cover emerging things for DUI and traffic safety matters. So be on the lookout for that starting the new fiscal year, federal fiscal year, October 1st going forward. I will be doing a quarterly TSRP newsletter that will get sent out. Probably on the forum is where I'll distribute that. and then on our website as well.
But the newsletter is on our website.
Yeah, and the blog.
So that's still being done.
Yeah, I just try to send out an email once a month saying there's a hold in case, you know, cases. But our law clerk updates them monthly, weekly.
It's just in blog form now. It's not in the newsletter form.
Do you miss the newsletter format?
Took out the jokes.
I do, but
yeah.
I haven't heard any.
It's on the front page of the website.
Okay.
You just go down to the newsletter. And you click any article, take you to that article, but
really upset.
You'll see the whole, everything that's ever been done.
One thing I think we could do at the spring and the fall conference every year is just have Ron or somebody from UPC take 10 minutes and show on the screen, show the UPC site. Here's what you can find on the site. Here's how you can use it to help you. If we just took like 10 minutes once a year, you know, to show people this is what the site is and here's how you can use it. Because I think Tyson's right, I don't think a lot of people know about him. And we need to work on making it better to give Ron more stuff.
You know, I've looked at a lot of my counterparts around the country that have their own websites, and they've just got tons of information on there, and they're a huge resource for their prosecutors in their states. And it's going to take a while to get there, but that's one of my goals. That's what I'm saying in making more online presence. I want. You know, if you have a question about the DUI, go to the PSRP section of the UPC website and look first and foremost, and hopefully the answer will be there. And if not, then you can contact me or others or whatever. But that's the ultimate goal, but that's the big picture. So.
Good segue into the IT report.
Ron, do you want to talk quickly about your new market?
Okay, so I've been working on trying to automate things and save us time in the office because Marilyn is often overloaded, especially when she's got conference after another one. And it takes hours sometimes to put together a conference after the fact, and you know, put together the scores, those comments, and everything. So I've been trying to automate a lot of that. One of that has been the evaluation online. If you go online and do an evaluation, you get your thing right away from doing that, plus we immediately get all the scores, all the comments are just always right there ready for us anytime. We don't have to spend any time putting that together. But also when checking in with the evaluation thing, you have to check in so we can mark you as there so that the system knows that you, when you do the evaluation, you've been to the conference or you've been checked in. And then I just thought that it'd be really nice if we just scanned it in. Bob thought that would be good, so I've got a way that when you register, you'll receive an email. If we have your email, and if we don't, please let me know and we'll update it. You'll receive an email that says, yeah, you've registered for this, plus it'll give you a barcode that you can either have on your phone or you can print it out, whatever, and when you come to the conference, you just put it under the scanner, beep, you're checked in. We tried it today, this week at the UPA conference, just kind of, I was just doing it, I didn't get them ahead of time, but I just had all their barcodes and I'd go beep, done, beep, done, beep, done. So it goes in. If you haven't registered for the conference yet, it'll do that. Just boom, you're registered and marked as here. So it just makes it one more step towards making it easy to avoid any lines or anything. You put three of those on the table, you just scan, dump, you're done, and you go into the meeting. So anyway, that's one of the things we're working on, trying to get, trying to make it so that the website helps take some of the workload, so that we can do some of the other things that are more important that Marilyn and Bob need to spend their time doing, rather than doing all the stuff in the background that takes so much time after a conference.
So how can you get your evaluation done online? And as soon as that is
in, yeah, it creates your certificate dynamically as you finish the evaluation. You can download it immediately and have it in your hands electronically, or you can print it out, depending on what you want to do. The downside to that online evaluation that I've seen, at least for the UPA conference, is not very many people bring their devices so that they can get online and do it. But it'll work on a phone, on a tablet, or on a laptop, and you can do it anywhere that you have access to the internet. So, and I've tried to make
it. Yeah, it was the first one that you've done the barcode.
Yeah, UPA is the first one to do the barcode, and it was only just me doing it as they came in. Click your barcode that I already had a copy of. But ongoing, when you register, the email you get that says your register for this conference will include the barcode with it. So that's just one of the things we're trying to do. Donna and Tyson, if they would, I'd be really happy to put anything you get. I can put things on the web, but I don't do content very well. I can't come up with the content. So if somebody has content that you think would be valuable to put on the web, that Bob and I, or pass it through Bob and he can get it to me, or if it's related to Tyson or Donna, let them know and we can get it on the website. And we want to make it dynamic and worth the time of going there and doing something. I don't have any ideas of what should go on there. I've tried to make it though so that if you're accessing it with a phone, you can see it. It reformats itself for the format that you're using on a tablet, a phone, a computer, big screen, small screen, whatever. It should look, with exception of some of the evaluation, I'm still working on how to make that format properly for a small phone or something. It works, you can get through it, but it's a lot of scrolling right now. But most of the website, it's just built so that I do it on my phone just to test it. And that the front page and the contact page and all that just really format nicely, even for a phone. So just trying to make it so you can access it from anywhere. But ideas for content, I need help with that. And if you have any suggestions as you go through and you do the evaluations or something, if you see something that just seemed like it's hard to do, or I've tried to make it as easy as possible, just click, you're done. Also on the evaluation, just so you know, you can save your progress now, so you could do it daily. You click on the save progress, it saves it, you come back the next time you log in, it pulls it up with your progress saved, and you just continue. I didn't have that quite ready for spring. It was a complicated thing. I had to do some things, learn some new techniques of doing things, and I figured it out and got it so you can save your progress now. So you don't have to do it all at once. You can do it at a day at a time, or one thing at a time, one class at a time. Save it, and until you submit it, it remembers what you've done. Once you've submitted, then it obviously won't come back and let you change it. Also, the one last thing on that is that it's only up for 30 days. Bob and I talked about that, and we thought that leave the evaluation available for 30 days should be sufficient. Some people haven't finished it in that time, and then Marilyn gets calls, and we handle it back on the back end then. The spring conference took us very little time to get the back end stuff done, which is really nice this year, because usually spring conference, I have a stack of things like this that we go through all the evaluations and score them manually into our database so that we can keep track of it. So it's going to be very helpful for everybody, if we get that going well, so everybody does it that way. If you have any suggestions for the website, please let me know. Also, we do have our database has some inaccuracies in it. If you see in your office that there's some people that are showing in your office that aren't there anymore, or people that aren't showing that are there, just let me know and I'll get it updated.
Okay, case management, I know everybody's interested in that. I passed on the information to James, you reported it last night to county attorneys, but where we're at is I just got confirmation back this week that I got a 12-month extension. So the grant now goes through August 31st of 2017, which is good, gives me a little bit of breathing room. The RFP, I'm in the process of that. I met with Lisa Ashman from the Salt Lake County Attorney's Office, looked at their RFP, basically plagiarized it for AGs, incorporated some of that as well, and got it submitted. And that was state purchasing, got their feedback, submitted the first draft. I received it back right before legislative update started. I started to make the edits and then got involved with legislative update. Now that that's over, I'm hoping to get the RFP, at least the next edit, done and back to state purchasing the next week or two. Let's let it come on here. I'm hoping to get it done by, we're almost into July, by mid-July, end of July, the very latest, to get the second RFP to state purchasing it back. So I'm hopeful there. Hands. Anticipate at least one more year. I talked about one more year going on PIMS, just because it's going to take some time to get some of all of the jurisdictions up and running. So that's just real briefly on case management. If they have any questions, okay. UPAC, we don't have anything new to report. We haven't been with me since then. Can I just go right in?
Yeah.
Yeah, John R. Justice.
John R. Justice, the application's closed this year. For those of you that are familiar with that, the grant gets divided in half evenly among prosecutors and public defenders. I've only got two, maybe three public defenders that apply, and so they're gonna get like 16,000 to split among public defenders, so they're gonna get, you know, a couple thousand dollars, whereas our prosecutors are gonna get a couple hundred dollars. So it's, they hate the way that they do that, but that's just the parameters of the grant. The matching effect doesn't go into effect until a year from now, so we will have one more year with our justice grant.
All right, going on to other business. Barry, you got a motion with 12A, right?
I do. I sense pending litigation with this, so I think we need an executive session for that. Executive session.
Well, do we want to do closed session?
Right, so we're just going to move it down the agenda, down to our
closed session.
Yeah,
okay.
Just take it out of order on the agenda.
Yeah.
Any disagreement with that?
No, because if it's litigation stuff, you can go into closed session as well as personnel matters, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, the UPC statute. The only thing I really wanted to just mention here is I met with Attorney General Reyes, Spence Austin, and who's chief staff, right?
Missy.
Thank you, Missy Larson. I think I reported that last time, but one of the things that came out of that discussion is the possibility of relocating UPC staff. In the Heber Wells building, spaces at premium. They don't have enough room for their own staff, let alone us, and so we're exploring the possibilities of relocating. As you can see in the notes there, we looked at insurance fraud defense is moving down to the Workforce Services building at 13 South, and we haven't looked at there. Looked at that, it wouldn't be possible for us to move in, there's not enough space, plus the cost of remodeling would be prohibitive. We get such a great deal from the AG's office that for the $15,000 that we pay in rent and overhead each year, we wouldn't be able to find another location for that. There was some brief discussion about could the UPC become its own entity, approaching the legislature and getting some kind of that guarantee that Post got that if we don't meet our surcharge, that they will subsidize us in that respect. I can't see that really getting any traction. If UPC were to become its own entity, we'd need at least two more FTEs, need somebody to do our grant management, secretary, travel, admin. I mean, there's pros and cons for us becoming our own entity, but I don't know that is going to happen. But I bundled out all the redrafting of UPC statute heading. My law clerk is working on a project that I gave him just to look and see how the other states organize their councils, how they're funded. That's another thing that Sean wanted. But I think we recognize that there are just some issues with our statute, one of which may be that we change it, we train all public attorneys as opposed to just prosecutors. But we're going to continue to work on that. So I don't really have anything more than that. We haven't started redrafting with the council just rather that our staff put together a proposed possible redrafting and bring it to the council. If we want to put some kind of committee together to work on that, what's your suggestion?
Do you know, Bob, how other equivalents, how other states do handle their UPC type organizations?
Yeah, well,
are they mostly independent or mostly not?
No, it's all across the board. Some are independent, others are not. Some are with the Attorney General's office, some are with the District Attorney's office. Some are funded by state statute like us, others are funded, they're 501c's, and so they're
done. I know, when I went to Georgia, they invited Mark Nash to come and observe one of their courses, and he sent me because he couldn't make it, but I went to Georgia, and their budget is just phenomenal. They spend $100,000. On their basic prosecutor training course.
Sweet.
$100,000 on just that. Yeah. They do it for a whole week. They bring in like juries, they bring out state presenters, they spend $100,000 on it.
Yeah.
And their budget is huge. So I was kind of shocked at how much money they.
Well, that's what I'm hoping this project that our clerk is working on, that I can and coalesce all that information and presented that. Every year I keep saying I'd like to tweak our